You've read the title of the sermon, What a Difference a Day Makes. Jesus and his disciples has gone to Caesarea Philippi. And it was here that Jesus had asked his closest followers, who do you say I am? Peter stepped forward and he became the spokesman for all the whole group, remember last week? And he shouted out, you are the Christ, the Son of the living God. Now, you know, for years and years and years, I have not really seen pictures of our Lord with a smile on his face. But I can picture him at this moment turning to Peter with maybe just a slight bit of a smile and saying, blessed are you, Simon, the son of Jonah. And as we are told in the scriptures, Peter did not know this by himself. He didn't figure it out. No little light had gone off in Peter's head, and then, pop, I understand, I realize he is the Messiah. The guy who he has been following now for 2 years. Watching him heal the sick and driving out demons was, in fact, the promised Messiah. But he still had not figured that out. It didn't happen like that for Peter, where all of a sudden you get it and you realize it. It doesn't happen for us that way either. Peter didn't intellectually figure this whole thing out. I hear people at times, and mostly in the past, they would say, do you know the moment that you became a Christian? Sometimes they'll ask me, do you know when you were born again? You know what my answer is? Well, it's pretty simple. Yes, I know the exact moment that I became a child of God. It was when, as a child, the words were spoken. I baptize you in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. It was a gift. It's a gift from God and the work of the Holy Spirit. Today's gospel explains what happened after Peter had made his confession of who Jesus is. So in today's gospel, Jesus follows up on Peter's confession with a kind of confession of his own. He tells his disciples what his future is going to be. And in Matthew 16, verse 21, Jesus began to explain to his disciples that he must go to Jerusalem and suffer many things from the elders, chief priests, and scribes, and that he must be killed, and on the third day be raised, I'm going to put it in parentheses, raised to life. Now, when we hear that read, or we read those words ourselves, we look at them from an entirely different perspective than the disciples who were with Jesus at that time. We have the luxury of knowing. We know how everything turned out. We understand that. It's great. The disciples, on the other hand, have just heard Peter declare that Jesus is the Messiah. And you'll note that Jesus, he didn't deny it at all. He just kept going. He just told them not to tell anyone. Don't tell anyone that he was the Christ. And now they hear the Messiah, okay, saying that he is going to suffer and be killed. It's interesting, but totally understandable. The disciples didn't latch on to the final words of Jesus. On the third day, I'll be raised from the dead. Peter isn't happy. He isn't happy with what he has heard, and he's letting Jesus know it in no uncertain terms, that nobody but nobody was going to mess with him and mess with the Messiah. So Jesus' next words to Peter are, "Get behind me, Satan." What a difference a day makes. From "Blessed are you, son of Jonah," to "Get behind me, Satan," in less now, in 24 hours. It wasn't even 24 hours before when he had said, "Blessed are you," so Jesus said that. But Jesus, he doesn't stop there. He says to Peter, "You are a stumbling block to me." And before he called Peter a rock, now he's calling him a stumbling block. Can you just picture Peter? 1 minute he's floating on cloud nine. He's higher than a kite because he's spoken words that brought praise from his teacher, his master, his rabbi. And the next thing he knows, he's being called Satan and a stumbling block. The big question is, why? Why did Jesus do that? Jesus knew that he had one mission and one mission only on this earth. So when he turns to Peter and says, "Get behind me, Satan," he also gives an explanation as to why. He says, "You do not have in mind the things of God, but the things of man." Wow. Peter thought he had it all together. He thought that he finally got it. Everything was good. He thought he was doing the right thing, only to have it thrown back into his face. My friends, Christ Jesus, with Christ Jesus, he can be actually, we can be actually grateful for Peter and his dubious example, because Peter is so very much like you and I. How many times do you think that you were actually doing the right things? And how many times do you think that you thought, "Oh, this is all good. I'm doing it right. It's good. It's good. It's good." From this text this morning, we receive a word of warning and a word of caution. A warning that we should never try to deny the will of God, and a caution that when we attempt to overstep our boundaries, when we try to do or institute our will, we become a stumbling block to God. Peter thought that he was going to save the life of his friend Jesus, but what he was attempting to do was to stop Jesus from going to the cross, which meant salvation for all believers. That's why he was a stumbling block. God has given us a mission to tell the entire world of the saving grace for all believers. God has given us a mission to tell the whole world about the saving grace accomplished by Jesus through his death and resurrection. If we compromise, corrupt that message in any way, we are a stumbling block. Think about it for a moment. Every week I stand in this pulpit and I preach the Word of God. And through the power of the Holy Spirit, I try to convey to all who hear or read these words that we, all of us, not just those gathered here this morning, but all of us are sinners. We are sinners. That we have nothing to look forward to except damnation. And I don't know any way to really describe to you what eternal damnation is actually going to be like. We have some things in the scriptures, Well, I can tell you one thing. It's a place you do not want to go. It is absolutely scary. It's not good. And yet God loved each one of us enough that he sent his only son, Jesus Christ, to this earth to be born a virgin, to suffer, and to die. That death, that sacrifice was the atonement for all of our sins. And then God raised Jesus from the grave, and Jesus ascended into heaven. That's what God has promised to all believers, those who believe in him. Eternal life in heaven. That message, that's the message. Eternal life in heaven. Unfortunately, the message that's out there today really gets polluted. I mean, it gets turned around upside down by many. Anytime we try to replace the message of Christ crucified with anything else, we become a stumbling block. But there is good news. There is good news. Yes, we are much like Peter. While trying so hard to do good, we sometimes become like Satan himself. If you look at Peter and his relationship with Jesus, perhaps it is a mirror of yours. Peter was first to confess by divine revelation that Christ was the Son of God. But immediately after that, he confessed that confession. He tried to prevent from doing his work as a Messiah so that he would die on a cross. So he was trying to stop him from going to the cross. And at the Last Supper, he refused to let Jesus wash his feet. But then he wanted Jesus to wash his whole body. In Gethsemane, Jesus asked him to watch and pray. And what did Peter do? He fell asleep. Peter promised to follow Jesus all the way to prison and death. And yet, after his arrest, what did Peter do? He denied Jesus 3 times. How could Jesus, you know, I've always wondered, well, not really wondered, but how could Jesus choose such an emotional, impetuous, contradictory person such as Peter? Well, the choosing in him, in fact, in choosing all of us, we see the unfathomable wisdom of God and the love of God. Just like each one of us, Peter failed many times, and we do too. We fail many times in our lives, from saint to sinner, in the blink of an eye. But God never abandoned Peter. In the same way, God will not abandon you. He has blessed you in many ways. He has blessed you and made you whole through the blood of Christ Jesus. Take up his cross and speak with your own passion the pure gospel of Christ. Amen. The peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus until life everlasting. Amen.